Ladies and gentlemen, this is an original transmission. Sunday, the 8th day of March, 2015, I'm Alex Jones. We've got Joel Skousen and many others joining us. Incredibly important information coming up. But first, from Friday night's InfoWars Nightly News, Rob Dew, our news director, breaks down the secret of Harrison Ford surviving his plane crash. Yes, it's the good Lord above, but he gives us the wits that allows us to survive. Here is his report.
He escaped South American native tribes using them. He fought Nazi strongmen on top of them. And now, actor Harrison Ford, a.k.a. Han Solo, Indiana Jones, and Jack Ryan, has crash-landed a prop plane on a golf course, and he survived and nearly walked away.
Stay sharp. There's two more coming in. They're going to try and cut us off.
Besides, I know a few maneuvers. We'll lose them.
Rob Dew reporting for InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. That's right. Yesterday, on March 5th, 2015, Harrison Ford took off in his Ryan PT-22 plane, which is a two-place open cockpit trainer plane manufactured during World War II to train U.S. military pilots. It was built in 1942 and has a 160-horsepower radial engine and a top speed of 131 miles an hour. It was retired by the military after the war. Immediately upon takeoff, Ford had engine trouble and had to immediately make a U-turn and turn around back to the airport. Unfortunately, he didn't make it that far. As you can see, he crashed on the eighth hole of the Pinmar Golf Course near Santa Monica Airport.
53178, engine failure, immediate return.
Ryan 178, runway 21, clear to land.
Witnesses say he made a nosedive on the eighth hole tee and proceeded to glide into a crash landing. And I've got to say, when you take an aerial look over where he crashed, had he not made it to the golf course, he could have easily crashed into a number of houses and most likely died. We've seen plenty of plane crashes out there where small prop planes crash into houses and nobody makes it out. So he was very lucky in this regard.
Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
Unfortunately, his cockpit was not made of carbonite.
Well, protected. If he survived the freezing process, that is.
Well, Calrissian, did he survive?
He was pulled from the crash by several golfers, luckily one of which was a surgeon. He had a cut in his face that was very deep. Witnesses say a swath of skin was missing and there was blood dripping down his face. He was taken to UCLA Medical Center in critical condition, but has since been upgraded to moderate. His son Ben tweeted this: at the hospital, Dad is okay, battered but okay. He is every bit the man you would think he is. He is an incredibly strong man.
Still off maneuver. Take evasive action.
Ford's quick thinking and abilities reminded me of another plane crash that happened back in 2009 in January, and that was that of Captain Sully Sullenberg. He made a crash landing into the Hudson River after experiencing engine trouble. His quick thinking and training allowed Sullenberg to make a picture-perfect landing on the Hudson River with 155 souls on board. His landing was touted as a miracle. But I don't think it was a miracle. It was luck. And what is luck? Luck is the intersection of preparation and timing. And that's what you have to ask yourself out there. Are you prepared in life? Are you a concealed carry handgun owner who maybe will be in the right place at the right time when somebody decides to go on a crazy shooting rampage? Are you prepared if the stock market crashes? Are you prepared if society breaks down and there's riots? What are you doing in life? Are you awake? These two men are examples of people who are awake and prepared. And with luck and a little bit of preparation and timing, they were able to both make the best out of a bad situation. The world's going through a lot of changes right now, and sides are being drawn. Are you going to be on the side of freedom and individual liberty, or on the side of a collectivist, politically correct tyranny? Remember stories like these that showcase the dynamic, quick-thinking, prepared human spirit that refuses to submit. This is Rob Dew reporting for InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. If you are watching this report on YouTube, please consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. Your username can be shared with up to 20 people. That's 20 InfoWarriors for the price of one. And if you are a member of PrisonPlanet.tv, may the Force be with you.
I have you now.
The Force for Liberty, the Force for Freedom. Perfect job, Rob Dew. What we do is we hijack mainstream news stories, and then we inject pro-gun, pro-liberty information into them.
Mr. Smith is coming to you.
interruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Now we see the Earth. You got it. Now we see the Earth. Now you got it.
We've got Lionel,
media
analyst, former federal prosecutor, constitutional lawyer, joining us to look at the net neutrality battle that's going back and forth. The Republican bill has been reintroduced to block the FCC's power grab. The bill looks pretty clean. It just says, no, you're not taking control of the Internet. You don't destroy it to protect it. But we'll be looking at every angle of that for about 30 minutes at the start of the next hour with Lionel of Lionel Media. Then Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief is going to be joining us. We've been talking about geopolitical developments in the world. We'll spend some time on that Netanyahu speech from last week to Congress. But we're going to segue and get into social engineering, something that Joel Skousen has been exposing for 30 years, something his uncle, Cleon Skousen, has been exposing for 70 years, the late Cleon Skousen, who wrote The Naked Communist. He'll be joining us to look at the onslaught that is so cartoonish when you just look at it. But you have to understand, a lot of people just follow what they're told is trendy. Feminists coming out and basically saying that being a man inherently is bad and that men are lazy and men are evil. This is nothing but divide and conquer to get us fighting with each other. This is pure social engineering. We'll talk about that with Joel Skousen. Paul Watson filed a report on this that's on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com that we'll be airing in the first 5 minutes of the second hour as well. And then Paul Watson will be on tomorrow in the third hour detailing different sectors of political correctness and how it's not a bunch of people that are misguided crazies when they want to have, you know, transgender bathrooms at the elementary school. It is about scrambling society and confusing everyone and making human infighting the norm. Education is now about how to fight with each other, how to be obsessed with language, where you never engage in any debate because something might be offensive. It is mind control totalitarianism. Look at these headlines. MBA launches feminist campaign to lecture men, quote, not doing enough housework. And then we have all the studies here in this article at InfoWars.com, mainline studies that men actually do as much housework, just different types, and actually work harder. 90%+ of work deaths are men. Men don't live as long because they work so hard. I mean, I am just sick of the war on men, but I'm sick of the war on women. It's a war on humanity. We're all together. The globalists are sick, and if we can understand this, we'll understand everything. That dovetails with Time claims beta males, you cannot make this up. We'll put the story on screen. Time claims that beta males, who embrace feminism get more sex. White knights who submit to feminists will be rewarded with sex, says Time. But then we linked all the studies showing the opposite. Women want men that protect them, take care of them, challenge them, honor them, empower them. And a good woman wants to serve her man. A man wants to serve his woman. But no, this says that if you're a toady and, quote, raise feminist children, I'm going to read the quotes coming up. Feminist boys, where the whole world's around women, but it doesn't deliver. This is about the state being wedded to women, the state controlling women, women getting their marching orders from the social engineers. And it's all on record. The CIA funded Miss Magazine. It was declassified in 1986. Look it up for yourself. Gloria Steinem's written books bragging about it. And that dovetails with this article. Just regular political correctness. Eating three meals a day declared racist by Mother Jones Magazine. Quote, domestic adherence to mealtimes is anti-science and racist. See, it's about making everything racist, except foreign banks signing us on to trillions of derivatives, dollars that we don't owe, screwing everyone. That's not a problem. No, let's all just fight with each other, and brown bags are banned in Seattle because they're a racist code word. I'm not joking. And dodgeball's banned nationwide because it might hurt somebody's feelings. And now they want to ban grades because that might hurt somebody's feelings. This is a cult takeover. And this latest thing, Planet Fitness bans women or woman from gym for complaining about transgender in the locker room. Gym says members can use whatever locker room corresponds to their personal gender identity. Planet Fitness canceled a woman's membership after she complained about a transgender using the women's locker room. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I have absolutely nothing against people that grow up feeling like they're another sex. And I mean, that's been going on throughout history. The issue is there's a higher instances of it, and I'm going to get into why in just a moment. And the system is using this to really scramble society, as I was just saying. Come on. I mean, in public schools and elementary schools, they're trying to say that boys can go to whatever bathroom they want or girls can, and boys are just using it to go in and mess with the girls. And there's a lot of bullying coming out of the hardcore, radical, leftist gay lobby to force their agenda on everybody. And I don't care who it is. Don't try to bully me into going along with your agenda. Because if they can get you to go along with paying for people's sex changes, taxpayer paid for, I shouldn't pay for your nose job or for you to have your genitalia removed. I don't care what it is. But see, they set this precedent. Oh, be nice. Be open. I am a classical liberal in the Thomas Jefferson vein. Nowadays, that's called super hardcore right wing. I'm into freedom. I'm into you having your own choice, but here's where your choice ends. When you start trying to take my money or tell me how to live or tell me what to say, see, I'm truly tolerant. I don't go hear some dirty comedian or some radical comedian and get mad and walk out because I bought the ticket. Or if I do walk out because it's boring, I don't hate them and try to get my money back is what I'm getting at. But that's what the so-called left who claim they're tolerant, they want to shut down free speech everywhere. They say in universities all over the country don't have Halloween with geisha girls or cowboys or Native Americans or pirates or anything because it's hurtful. It's been in the news in Austin that local yoga studios that were going to have on Halloween Indian culture to honor it, that the South Asian community got upset, not even Indians, and said, no, you can't do that. See, it's about territorializing information. It's about absolutely manipulating culture at every level. Major yoga studio forced to cancel costume party after claims of racism. I mean, that's the type of stuff that's going on here while the globalists are manipulating our freedoms and taking our freedoms at every level. Now, before I get back into all of that and then segue into the election news, the Second Amendment news, turns out they already written the regulations, not laws, to ban basically all AR-15 ammo, town hall reports. That's coming up. Just a lot of key information that we're going to be breaking down and three guests joining us. But let's talk about what actually affects boy babies, girl babies, men, women, transgenders. I guess Facebook has over 50 different sexual designations. All 50 sexual designations that we're experts on knowing and obsessing over and proving how liberal we are and what was the name of the chicken and was it raised nice and was it petted on the head while we're all living in a giant version of Portlandia. We can make fun of it, but it's not funny because it's real. While that's happening, from the United States to Mexico, from Nicaragua to South Africa, from Sri Lanka to Germany, we literally have hundreds of studies, two new ones out, that glyphosate, product name Roundup, weed killer, is growing breast tumors, is causing all forms of different cancer. And there's two new studies out. Study confirms chronic kidney failure 5 times higher in glyphosate-ridden areas. And we're going to get into the studies, Journal of Organic Systems and others, one of them in association with the Sri Lankan government, where they just look at the numbers. You got glyphosate in your well water, 5 times more likely to have kidney failure. Why do you think dialysis places are popping up like McDonald's? We'll be right back.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Women are the heart of culture. Women are incredibly smart and beautiful, magical creatures. But they're one half of the human species. We should all love and cherish each other. And men have been taught to act like mindless thugs by the MTV culture, while simultaneously women have been taught to behave like mindless tarts, worshiping and following every government fad, because 81% in the United States, similar in Europe, of all purchases are decided by women. And so advertising targets women. I've read three books written by the father of modern advertising, Edward Bernays, Propaganda and two others. I've made films about it, Endgame and others, admitting the plan to target women, break them away from families, wed them to the state, have the state raise children, jack up illegitimacy, increase divorce, leave men and women alone, children atomized, and then the state comes in to take care of all the social problems and clean up the mess they helped start. Divide and conquer, balkanization. This is the admitted program. So while Time Magazine tells men, submit to women, act like you've done something wrong, act like you're a prisoner, act like that you're a second-class citizen, and women will give you sex. They actually say that in their new cover story. It's on Infowars.com. And then we link to all the other mainline studies showing women want a man that they think is better than them. And I don't think they're necessarily actually better, but that's what a woman wants on average. And that they aspire to get the best genetics they can and a guy that'll protect them and make them successful. And we see that evidenced everywhere. But the feminists say no, 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 because they want women to believe that henpecking and messing with men and warring against men will get them ahead. I don't care if it's general life, business, whatever. Having fun and getting along with people and being honorable and teamwork is what makes a good business, a good family, good children, happy men, happy women. I mean, I don't need to read the studies to know this is a load of malarkey. Now, while the NBA and the NFL, almost every commercial saying, sorry, your baby's a boy and let's open the borders up and let's turn our guns in and Obamacare is great, all this social engineering, while all that's happening, I've got two articles just today. Well, both these actually came out on Saturday. Study confirms chronic kidney failure 5 times higher in glyphosate-ridden areas. That's Roundup. Drinking water and occupational exposure to herbicides is associated with chronic kidney disease. And that's out of a journal in Sri Lanka and another journal, the Journal of Organic Systems. And they've made movies about it. It's well known. They admit that most breast tumors are from glyphosate. I mean, it grows it. It's an estrogen mimicker. It makes men have shriveled genitals, hardly produce any sperm. Western sperm counts are down almost 90%. Just look it up. They've got studies on that. Isn't this something? I mean, it hurts women. It hurts men. It turns out it ruins the fields, hurts yields a few years down the road. I got a family in farming, I know. I mean, it is a fraud. The same folks that brought us Agent Orange and so many other things, Monsanto, same folks that are big owners of, of McDonald's. These are the people, ladies and gentlemen, that, oh, by the way, it's in Paul Watson's report, Monsanto and others are the main funders of the feminist movement. See, had the families fight with each other, we won't notice why diabetes is up more than 3,000%. Kidney problems are up several thousand percent. I mean, it's all over the news. Breast cancer up, multi-thousand percent. Pediatric cancer is over 10,000%. I was on an elevator today going to a business meeting downtown, and they had a sign about kids with cancer and how to give money. And I saw people reading it as we were going up the elevator. And I said, hey, don't you ever wonder why they don't ask why pediatric cancer's up? Some cancers, more than 10,000%. 50, 60 years ago, it was super rare. Doctors would travel across the country to see a child with cancer. The people said, wow, that is a good point. And I said, yeah, it's always give money to treat people or find a cure, but they never do. We're being culled, and the system consolidates our wealth while they do it. Let's go back to the article by Christina Sarich, Infowars.com, that links to the studies. The evidence for the abominable toxicity of Roundup chemicals like glyphosate is already overwhelming, yet there seems to be a never-ending stream of research and evidence pointing towards their dangers. A new study has been published showing that farmers in Sri Lanka exposed to glyphosate through drinking water are five times more likely to develop chronic kidney failure than those who didn't drink herbicide-polluted water. But it just kills weeds. I mean, it must not be bad for us. Farmers in this part of the world often wear scant protection when spraying glyphosate on their rice fields. What matters is it gets in the water table and bioaccumulates in the food. But it seems that the protection is not enough. The fact that Roundup has contaminated their drinking water is an example of how multi-tiered the problem of herbicide toxicity truly is. Big ag chemicals, more specifically biotech chemicals, since their GM rice, soy, corn, and other genetically altered seeds are meant to withstand copious amounts of spraying, are detrimental to humans and the environment, and the moment they are sprayed, and years later. In this case, the toxicity is felt when residents of small rural villages drink from wells that have been contaminated with groundwater due to spraying. The research abstract concludes, the current study strongly favors the hypothesis that CKDU epidemic among farmers, that's their kidneys failing, in dry zone of Sri Lanka is associated with history of drinking water from the well that was abandoned. In addition, it is associated with spraying glyphosate and other pesticides in paddy fields. Rice paddy fields. And he's got the doctors and the links and the study and all the rest of it. Drinking well water and occupational exposure to herbicides associated with chronic kidney disease. I mean, they've got, again, movies, studies. It's all well known. Simply put, but abruptly not so simply solved, concentrations of glyphosate and metals are much higher in the abandoned wells, increasing the risk of deadly chronic kidney disease, CKDU, up fivefold. In the areas that don't use glyphosate, they studied the water, there is, again, five times less. This, I mean, just all we know is kidney failure skyrocketing. And they go, oh, get healthier, don't drink, eat, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we used to be more unhealthy 50 years ago. Did you see the diet back then? Pie and cake twice a day, chicken fried steaks? The Center for Public Integrity says fatal chronic kidney disease of unknown origin, or CKDU, has killed more people in El Salvador, Nicaragua, than AIDS. Diabetes, you have seen the documentaries where whole villages, everybody's just dying. And leukemia combined over the past 5 years. This wave of CKDU affecting numerous poor farmers, countries around the world, simply didn't exist prior to 1990. And see, their governments will report on it there. The difference is our level of kidney failure in the U.S., look it up, is even higher. You're like, oh, let those poor farmers in Guatemala die from it, you know, with bananas or whatever. Or let them from the pesticides and herbicides. It bioaccumulates in the food, and we eat it. We are the end. We are the. Can you imagine if Americans got eaten? How sick you'd get? You think a big ocean fish like a blue tuna has bioaccumulation of toxin? I mean, all these neurological disorders that 25-year-olds are getting now. People are getting Alzheimer's at 60, 45. They call it neurological disorder when your 12-year-old gets it, but it's Alzheimer's. They don't know who they are. They're smearing feces all over the walls. They're poisoned. Another study published in the Journal of Organic Studies also found a link between glyphosate and the enormous increase in chronic diseases across the United States. See, oh, but let's all fight. Hey, I'll tell you what's good. Make your man clean more around the house. That'll save the planet. Teach him he's bad. Men are bad. Families are bad. And world government's good. And let's get some transgender bathrooms in here while we're all being poisoned to death.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
You bet I'm angry. You bet I'm trying to rouse people out of their slumber, their trance. There are literally thousands of studies on fluoride, glyphosates, all this, when they could choose a lot safer pesticides and other things. There are all these studies showing that it is annihilating us, and we see the graphs going straight up. The cancer, the neurological disorders, the diabetes, the kidney failure, the cancer. And the hospitals are charging hundreds of thousands of dollars for basic back surgery. The whole society's being imploded. And then you learn the Nazis had a eugenics plan to take over the world, that they would use soft kill weapons in the food and water to slowly degenerate people and then have big government-run hospitals with government health care that would tax you and regulate you to basically cover up that the government was killing everybody, and social pressure in the media would act like everything was normal. They would go further if you get into the Nuremberg trials. There was only just Stultz of this put out in the trials, mentions of it, but you could, a lot of this stuff got grabbed and taken back to the United States, England, and other places, like the 68 Gun Control Act is word for word changed from German, and like six or seven words are changed to the United States. The Gun Control Act of 68 is the Weimar Republic / Nazi Gun Control Act. Look it up. Just look up 68 Gun Control Act is Nazi Act. I mean, you cannot make this up. And then you realize, oh my gosh, we're living in a giant Nazi plan. The doctors don't know. The scientists don't know. Dr. Blalock's read hundreds of globalist books. In fact, I want to get him back on next week if we can, maybe Friday or something, just on the subject and have him go back. I mean, he lectures to like, we sent our guys to Vegas once when he was there giving a lecture to like 3,000 top scientists and medical doctors. I mean, he's a famous brain surgeon. And he's read the books, the globalist documents. A lot of them I've read, but on air, he's just mentioned them. We need to get him on for a whole hour about that history. And he'll just mention the Rockefeller medicine, how they funded the Nazis, how they brought it back here, Hollerith, IBM, everything. How it's just a massive takeover plan. And who puts our troops on a death list now, a do-not-treat list? IBM, a Hollerith Watson machine. 1942, it's Jews and others with a number on them. Now you have a Social Security number, and it decides who gets treatment, who doesn't. You can't make that up. See, the magnitude of that is so over the top, I don't even know what to say. In fact, I meant to air the Mark of the Beast intro that McBreen put together earlier. Maybe we'll do that towards the end of the broadcast today. But it's just so crazy to know that evil people are in control. And I want you to understand, I didn't just read these articles. Doctors urge whooping cough vaccines for pregnant moms despite insert warnings in California. And we've got a copy of the insert here saying don't give it to pregnant women. It's been linked to all sorts of problems. The vaccine could possibly kill your baby or make you sterile. But there in CBS Sacramento, Dr. Dean Bloomberg of UC Davis, that's headed up by Big Sis, told the Sacramento CBS News that, oh, you should get your vaccinated more when you're pregnant. But I'm not cherry picking. Just in the last week, the BBC and the London Telegraph, not me, came out with the headlines. Let's put one on screen. For TV viewers, Infowars.com/show. London Telegraph, fluoride in drinking water may trigger depression and weight gain, warns scientist. And it goes on to say it makes you fat, depressed, and unhappy, and gives you cancer. Oh, let's show them the Harvard study from 3 years ago of 25 studies in the U.S. Massive IQ reductions, massive cancer increases. I mean, it's all being done by design. There it is, Harvard. Impact of fluoride on neurological development in children. Boom! Boom! 2012. Boom! See, they just hope you don't go look this up, and that's why we have pioneered in the last 20 years, and I've been doing it for about 18, showing computer screens on TV as I showed people articles or as I showed them bills. Because I'd get up there and say, here's the treaty putting our land under UN control and UNESCO, Agenda 21, and people didn't believe it on radio. So I started going and doing Access TV where I could have a computer screen up or show the bill and actually show viewers, here it is, and here's the signs, and here I am asking about it, and they threatened to arrest me. And here is the UN video clip where they passed it globally in 1992, and people were going, whoa, he didn't lie. Here's the executive order to microchip you and take blood to get a driver's license. Doesn't mean they've implemented it yet, but it's on the books, Bill Clinton. I mean, yeah, it's crazy to learn in the Telecommunications Act of 96 and have NSA whistleblowers on in 97. Bigger than Snowden we had on with the actual intel that the cable boxes and the TVs coming out would have cameras and microphones and listen to everything you do. This month, it's come out that Samsung and all the other big companies, Sony, the cable boxes, all of it is watching you, is listening to you, and is recording it. Oh, and your smartphones are too, all the time. and they admit that they're doing it in their own terms of use to get you to waive your rights. You think you pull up to the big superstore and buy your big screen TV. You think the voice command's real cute. Folks, this is such a diabolical criminal takeover. So, of course, they've got the NFL and NBA saying, sorry, you're a boy. Men are bad. Men are inherently evil. Ban all competition. Women are God. Men are evil. Men are evil. Men are evil. Women, don't give your husband sex if he doesn't do everything and submit to you. Dominate, dominate, dominate. They're telling women, be the alphas. In some relationships, women are naturally alphas. Men are actually, you know, beta. But generally, a woman wants an alpha male. That's genetic. And the state says, hey, the state is your alpha. He's your John Wayne, baby. That man, that's a slave. That's a bot. You don't need his sperm. You don't. Don't worry. He ain't going to have no sperm, baby. Glyphosate's going to give you breast cancer, and it's going to give you ovarian cancer when you're 25 years old or 30. They're going to have to cut your uterus out. They're going to ruin your life. And that man's going to get testicular cancer and prostate cancer, and he's going to have a shriveled genitals and no sperm, and you're going to wipe you out, baby. Because let me tell you, if an alien species took over this planet and was using our government to run an operation, they couldn't do a better job. You would target women. You'd break up families. You'd put poison in the food and water to brain damage and dumb down and stun the public. A spider bites its target first with a light bite just to stun it because it likes to tie it up so the meal doesn't fall down to the ground where other bugs might eat it. And then the arachnid spins it up and then lets it kind of just rot and swell up full of poison. And then it comes up and sanguinates and sucks all that juice out real lovingly. You got to understand, this isn't my opinion. I am a savage human primitive is the only reason I've broken their conditioning. I'm aware of an enemy attack. I'm dead on. I know the enemy. And if you'll just look into what I've said and find out it's true, we can defeat these people. And this planet can be a major space base for our species to go to the next level. And we can base a system on honor and on free will. And if people want to break away and join space colonies that merge with machines, they can do it. Or if you want to join a colony that's human first and a human integrity project to let us develop and understand technology before we make these decisions, then you'll be part of that. A libertarian galactic vision. We already are in space. Just 400 years ago, people came across the ocean to colonize and build a civilization here, out of the wilds. The next jump to space colonies is much smaller than the jump we've made in the last 100 years. And the elite know that, and they want to hog it for themselves. And they believe that there's this 6-7 billion people that have got to be gotten rid of, because they debate the numbers. So they, the elite, who build nothing but parasite off everyone, the ultra-rich billionaires who get their money out of government contracts and insider deals, they're the ones coming up in the next segment. Some stations don't care that first 5 minutes. I'm going to play Paul Watson's report. It's on InfoWars.com. Well, at the end, who funds the anti-gun? Who funds men are bad? Who funds boys are bad? It's literally Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Coca-Cola, Monsanto, the usual suspects, because this is an enemy group that literally adopted a proto-Nazi program because the Nazis only adopted it and went too far, too quick, according to the elite. I mean, you understand you are living in a science fiction, real reality, dystopic war zone, ladies and gentlemen. It's so epic. Stay with us. Second hour coming up.
Woe to you of earth and seed, for the devil sends the beast with wrath. His number is 666.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Waging war on corruption, crashing through the lies and disinformation. Coming up in the next hour, Joel Skousen and others like Lionel from Lionel Media will cover the waterfront. Please tell your friends and family to tune in. But first, a little compilation over the last 10 years as the mainstream media promotes the mark of the beast, microchips and biometrics to buy and sell. I warned you about this plan a long time ago, but before I ever warned you, 2,000 years ago, we were warned as well. But the mainline churches won't warn the people. They tell Christians they're going to be teleported out of here by Scotty at the Enterprise and won't have to face the beast, even though the Bible says the beast will wage war against the saints and overcome them in the first round. Here's the compilation piece put together by Darren McBreen.
see the video at InfoWars.com right now.
And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one that has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666.
So how close are we to actually having microchips implanted under our skin? Well, according to the NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams, we might be a lot closer than you think.
More now of our special coverage here tonight, life in the U.S. in 10 years' time.
The year is 2017. You're rushed to a hospital, unconscious with no ID or medical history. But thanks to a microchip under your skin, it's all there. Science fiction 20 years ago, but a biometric reality today.
In medical news tonight, a chip the size of a grain of rice could save your life.
I've just been chipped myself. It's not a painless process, but it doesn't last too long, not too difficult. Minor surgical procedure.
Quite easy.
Microchip technology now makes it possible for the emergency room staff to find out about your medical history at the touch of a computer key.
At some point, we're all going to have RFIDs. It might be even in our fingers, where they require it with everything on it.
Instead of carrying credit cards or money, we will probably be implanted.
And now it's begun.
And now RFID microchips like this are being injected into humans.
I'm sorry, sir. Did you just say you would get one implanted in your arm?
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Our driver's license will be on the RFID chip. Our credit card number, all our information will be on this one chip.
And of course, next comes
the case in unbreakable glass and is about the size of a grain of rice. The procedure is done with anesthesia and is relatively pain-free.
It felt pretty scary, but at the same time, it felt very modern, very 2015. Yes.
The government has just approved the use of a computer chip that would be implanted under your skin.
When complete, everyone will have a unique 12-digit identity number.
If hospitals purchase this detection equipment, the system will most likely start to include more and more people in those communities who will want the chips.
Wow. Interesting.
Everybody could have one of those one day.
Yeah. Does Google now know everything I do and everywhere I go? Because let's face it, you guys, but you're from Google.
It may be true that 10 to 20-year-olds don't want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'll be far more interested in wearing an electronic tattoo, if only to piss off their parents.
Forget mobile phones. Your children and grandchildren may well want an implant instead.
You know, when we check out at the grocery store, we'll be swiping our own arm over the scanner. And that will be something we feel we can't live without.
It would be such a disadvantage to not have the implant that it essentially becomes not optional.
Let's imagine a little bit what the future might look like if I could take your stem cells and put them on a chip, or your stem cells and put them on a chip. It would be a personalized chip just for you.
Turns over, but it doesn't start. But the RFID reader antenna is here, so when I authenticate,
you didn't pay your taxes. We turned your car off.
The bike powers up.
Trendy.
That's it.
Imagine if some of these machines could be made so thin, light, and portable, they could be attached right to the surface of your skin and go wherever you go.
There's some very sophisticated device functionality sitting on my skin.
Welcome to the future, specifically the checkpoint of the future.
It is envisaged that the passenger will be able to flow through the security checkpoint without interruption.
This is what IATA, which is the airline industry trade body, is hoping will become commonplace around the world. A sort of one-stop shop for security from the curb to the gate, as they say, with dignity.
So you're saying you're going to deny me the constitutional right to travel if I do not submit to this digital thumb scanning? Everyone must take the mark. A digitally enhanced mark.
I'm not talking about mark.
A digital tattoo.
Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over.
Mark my words, huh? More like
the mark of the beast.
Even though it is called a tattoo, there is no need to pierce or puncture the skin.
Your children
instead, the device takes on.
We'll
so what we can do is take this device, laminate it on the skin.
It occurs to me, I've got them in my dogs. Why wouldn't I have them in small children, too?
There are also several products available to keep track of children. Many of them act as emergency cell phones and tracking
just
devices.
Take the vaccines.
With some even able to display on a map
your brain
the places your child
you
has visited.
They told you we're giving you a nano tracker chip?
Yes.
To think something so small can connect you to everything that matters.
Because I'm in love with my kids' kids.
Just let your wrist, it'll feel
because
good.
My car lost control while driving.
Yeah, let the robots run it.
Because now, I'm looking out for both of us.
Yes.
Because I have diabetes, but it doesn't have me.
Because I spend my life in the ER trying to save yours.
Infowars.com. How dare them not love this? How dare them not see the beautiful future without humanity that Lord Rothschild and Lord Rockefeller are building? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That sounds like hate speech to me, doesn't it, you? Darren McBrain put that piece together. I talked over it. We're going to put this piece up on YouTube. But it is sick how we're just being lowered easily, incrementally, like the frog into the boiling pot. And I thought of something while we were airing that piece. In the last segment, I was talking about study confirms chronic kidney failure 5 times higher in glyphosate-ridden areas. Every county in the U.S. has glyphosate in the water. Look it up. Kidney failure, though, I mean, that's trendy. It helps the earth to die. And then I thought of the London Telegraph and other reports about fluoride brain damaging, lowering IQ, making you depressed. There's the headline. Why would anyone not get water filtration systems that cut the fluoride out and cut the glyphosates out? We sell 2 different systems, very affordable, the G2 Pro Pure Systems at InfoWarsStore.com, 10% off promo code water, and the clearly filtered systems that, depending on which filter system you get, reduce it down to non-detectable levels or completely take it all out. Why would anyone on God's green earth not have a high-quality water filter system? And I don't mean the charcoal ones that cost $20 and just take out some of the rotten bacteria and bad taste. And that's better than nothing because it reduces. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com. And yes, it funds our operation. It's a win-win. Filter your water. Filter your water. We have the shower heads that cut out the fluoride, too, as well, at the lowest price you're going to find anywhere. InfoWarsLife.com is where you find our high-quality nutraceuticals. Survival Shield X2. Get a free bottle of the Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Booster. We've basically sold out of Super Female and Super Male Vitality. But this is how we fund our operation, with high-quality herbs and nutraceuticals from God's green earth, from God's medicine cabinet, that we deploy to you at the highest quality at a very affordable price to fund our operation. The media's like, how dare Alex Jones fund himself? Yeah, and I'm not funded by taxpayer money like NPR or MSNBC with taxpayer stimulus money. I'm funded by you. And I hear the war drums against humanity, and I'm saying rally against it. Break our trance. Take action. And start today filtering your water. Do your own research. Buy them wherever. But why not buy high-quality water filters and nutraceuticals from folks that are hardcore, that have a spirit of liberty, that love God and hate tyranny, and are committed to go 110% till the end? And I'm not a hero. I will not join Satan. I will not join those that hurt the innocents. I am with God, even though I'm imperfect, and I'm committed. And I ask God to sanctify me, turbocharge me, and help me be good. I turn myself over to Christ right now. Second hour, straight ahead. Stay with us. Why do the globalists attack the family, men and women? They do it because, as Mahatma Gandhi said, the seed of the universe is within each of us. We are made in the image of God. And when they attack women, the progenitor of life, they attack men, they attack children, they attack us all. Here's Paul Watson's report on the bizarre excesses of the anti-human, transhumanist
super Nazis that are the feminazis.
According to Facebook executive Sheryl Sandberg, men are just not washing enough dishes and changing enough dirty diapers. Her organization, Lean In, is spearheading a feminist PR campaign backed by the NBA to lecture men to, quote, take more responsibility for housework and childcare, ordering them to do their, quote, fair share of daily chores by taking care of, quote, dishes in the sink or laundry piling up.
I tell women all the time, let your husband put the diaper on the kid's head. Just let him do it himself.
Imagine her henpecking you.
Men do half, women let them do half, and being a parent's not a full-time job for a woman and a part-time job for a man.
Right, because it's not as if men are already doing their fair share of chores, is it? Taking out the trash, cutting the grass, yard work, shoveling snow, fixing cars, general repairs. Nothing! Men just get home, beat their wives, shout at their children, sink into the sofa, and crack open a six-pack. It's not as if men work more hours than women. It's not as if men work far more dangerous jobs than women. It's not as if 92% of all workplace fatalities are men. It's not as if men are four times more likely to commit suicide. No, men have got it just too damn easy, and they need to get their asses in that kitchen. And who have feminists enlisted to deliver this lecture? LeBron James, a guy who's probably got five maids and spends about 3 hours a week at home. But isn't it ironic that Sandberg, architect of the Ban Bossy campaign, is now bossing men on how to behave in the privacy of their own homes? But it doesn't seem to concern the NBA that Sandberg's Ban Bossy campaign was based on completely fraudulent and debunked statistics. No, they're more concerned about being called sexist if they refuse to prostrate themselves and be used as a mouthpiece for this new brand of corporate feminism. But isn't it ironic that Sandberg is pushing a feminist campaign for a 50-50 share of the housework, when for decades feminist groups have opposed the 50-50 share of child support burden? So who's supporting this campaign? A brave coalition of grassroots feminist groups? No. Bank of America, Brown Brothers Harriman, Citibank, DuPont, GE, Goldman Sachs, GlaxoSmithKline, Morgan Stanley and Time Warner. In other words, the very corporate patriarchy that feminists rail against. Because as with every major feminist PR campaign, this has nothing to do with advancing equality and everything to do with creating more division between the sexes through social engineering and the promotion of misandry.
Sorry, it's a boy.
We're talking untold millions of dollars in free advertising, months of NBA commercials for this, Google devoting its homepage to the campaign, Yahoo, Microsoft, and of course Facebook, all in support. And just by coincidence, as she prepares to launch her presidential run on the foundation of the debunked pay gap myth, Hillary Clinton is also throwing her support behind the initiative. Listen, divorce rates are already in the 40 to 50% margin. There's a direct correlation between the rise of feminism in Western society and the rise in divorce rates. Feminism has clearly been a disaster for relationships between men and women.
Which it was
designed
to do.
Feminism is a cancer to marriage in America. This campaign is only going to lead to more pressure on men, more resentment, more arguments, and the breakdown of more relationships. So Sheryl Sandberg, Hillary Clinton, the NBA, and all the moronic feminists promoting this, stop lecturing people on how to behave in the privacy of their own homes. Stop being bossy by dictating how gender roles and household tasks should be decided upon by couples. Stop implying that men are deficient or losers because they're not doing enough laundry or not cleaning enough dirty dishes after they've broken their backs all day working two jobs just to put food on the table. Stop exploiting the communication power of corporate giants to push cultural Marxism, which will eventually leave not just men, but particularly women, financially insecure, regretful, alone, and miserable. Just like the army of joyless feminist harpies that you represent.
But that's the plan, is to wreck women. Yeah, again, we say, oh, it's a screw-up. It doesn't make sense. It makes perfect sense by all these megabanks raping us. They get us fighting with each other. Great report by Paul Watson. We're going to talk about it coming up. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Thank you for joining us on this Sunday worldwide broadcast, the eighth day already of March 2015. Hard to believe we're already 3+ months into the new year. Before we know, it'll be 2016 and beyond. I wanted to get Lionel on because he's a former prosecutor in a big city in Florida. He's also a former defense lawyer, constitutional lawyer, and he's hosted big TV shows, syndicated radio, you name it. He's in the top 50 biggest talkers, according to Talkers Magazine. But I just like having him on to get his analysis. And I had the former chief counsel of the FCC on last week, the lawyer who got rid of the Fairness Doctrine back in 1987. And, of course, that's Bruce Fein. And he said, look, notice they haven't released, and they still haven't released, we're a week and a half into this now, the FCC 300 and something pages. And you know when Obama's supporting it and Hillary's supporting it, and Republican leadership didn't block it. They went along with it, that it is a federal power grab. There was no federal jurisdiction really over the internet. Other than, quote, cybersecurity, you know, defending against attacks and government installations. So this is what they always wanted. So in the name of protecting it, the government's taken it over and won't let us see what they're doing. Boy, that's not a good sign. Hey, I've taken over your house to protect it. You can't come in, and I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing, but that's the way it is. So we've got that. Now, the Republicans have brought in this, I've got it here in my stack. What's it called? Internet Protection Act? Internet Freedom Act?
Internet Freedom Act.
It's got its own Orwellian name. In fact, I had a copy of it in my stack when I covered it Friday. Maybe you can pull that. I read it. It looks like a pretty good bill. It says the FCC doesn't have jurisdiction. But then it goes on to say companies can basically do business if they want to. Well, then that means the companies can come in and start violating people and violating any trust. And the problem is we're not enforcing any trust laws. So we already have laws on the books. But I'm telling you, this is burn down the house to save it. This is throw out the baby with the bathwater. This is cut your nose off to spite your face. And I've got all these leftists out there who aren't really leftists. They're like fascistic cult members, like a tree of parrots repeating the same thing, that I'm horrible and Ron Paul's wrong, saying this is the end of the free internet if this goes through. No, we're right. And you're going to sit back and watch it. Just like Obamacare, we actually had the bill with the death panels and tripling prices and all the new taxes on poor people. And now you notice the insurance companies have had double, triple the increase in profits domestically, worldwide, almost 50% increase in profits in 2013, 2014 alone. You can pull those numbers up. It's all over the Wall Street Journal, you name it. Worldwide insurance companies are feasting on America right now. They wrote it. The Republican leadership helped write it. So you got a bipartisan system going on right now. You've got the Republican freshmen trying to unseat Boehner. They've introduced a bill to try to protect the internet. I'm not saying it's perfect, but that's where law comes from, is the legislative. And at least you can read it. You can see what's in it. Now that's my take. I don't know Lionel's take from LionelMedia.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Lionel Media. I don't know Lionel's take as a former prosecutor and a constitutional lawyer, but I'm sure he'll be able to give us his angle on it. Lionel, do you think I got it straight or am I wrong?
Absolutely spot on, my dear friend, fellow patriot and constitutional sentry. You know, Alex, as a licensed member of the New York, Florida, and Supreme Court bars, somebody who has devoted all of his adult life to that which is the Constitution, I noticed something which is very interesting. The government wanted a long time ago to figure out how to seize control of the internet. How could it do it? Because up to now, the internet was kind of no man's land. It was this uncharted territory. Because whether DARPA was involved or whether it was military or academia, the government turned its back and there it was, the internet. And they said, holy moly, what do we do? Every time they tried to do something, they said, you don't have jurisdiction. You don't have jurisdiction to tax, to limit, to censor, nothing. So they tried every way possible. So what they did was, and you were so correct, Alex, because they give it a Orwellian name, something that's anodyne, something that sounds harmless, net neutrality. Who in their right mind could be against net neutrality? And to make a long story very, very short, and I'm sorry for all these sounds and bells.
We love it. It's like a newsroom. Go ahead.
Whatever. So instead of doing that, They said, let's do something and let's tell the consumer that this is somehow going to quash or stifle or keep down evil corporatocracies to allow your speed to remain free and unfettered. And you get Al Franken and Bernie Sanders and Amy Goodman and the usual cast of characters, and they're applauding it, like barking seals. And the professional left said, sounds good to me. And I've got friends of mine, Alex, who are very smart people, who believe that somehow this is a strike against corporate bad guys. What this was step one. It's the camel with his nose under the tent. It's the ability under Title II of the Communications Act to construe and to declare the internet heretofore free, like oxygen, like the atmosphere.
Like the wind.
Yes. Now it's declared as a utility or a common carrier. But now in this grab, it's just been pulled into the province, the jurisdictional control for the first time ever of the government. Now, Alex, the FCC, the people who gave us the wardrobe malfunction. There I was, Alex, watching the Super Bowl one night with a friend. And something happened with Janet Jackson. You had to have the visual acuity of a fighter pilot.
Let us draw attention to her breast with the sun symbol, and now let us fine everyone. Exactly. This is a very totalitarian, stifling organization.
Those guys are in charge of the internet now. They also gave you, if you remember, the famous moment of Bono and his fleeting expletive. During an award ceremony, he said something was blanking brilliant. Nobody really compared, but Fox got hit for 50.
But let's expand on that. They want to tax it. They want to regulate it. They've said it before. What about them not releasing it? And then it doesn't come from Congress.
That's it. Let's go further. A, licensing. This is a utility, Alex. You can't open up Alex Jones Power.
It's like a liquor license now.
Right. Never before. Thank you, Al Franken. Thank you, Bernie Sanders. We were doing just fine. People got their porn and their news and everything was just hunky-dory. So you can do licensing. Next, you can do actually decency. We can, for the first time, tell you, because remember, I'm going to say this over and over again, they never had a basis of jurisdiction before. Under the, I think it was EFF, Electronic Foundation, they asked, what are these general control guidelines, these rules, what are they? What is this conduct code that you allude to? They haven't answered the question.
It's just a totally nebulous power grab, anything they want.
Yes. So let's also look at the quiver. You've got licensing. They're going to bring back the fairness doctrine. A lot of your viewers and listeners, Alex, I don't think understand what that was. That was in response to Ronald Reagan and the catastrophic, if you will, success of Rush Limbaugh to come up with this idea of equal time, which was the worst thing ever. So that's possible. Next, they're going to incorporate, as you've so...
Wait, let's interrupt you. Equal time. Let's bring in someone who won't show us what's in this rule to come on and give equal time. We get five, they get five. That's right. What that would mean. Sorry, go ahead.
So instead of using competition and free market and capitalism, if somebody does not like what Alex Jones is saying, all of a sudden, you say, slam on the brakes. All of a sudden, the door opens up, and here comes who? What is the opposite or the other view to you? What even, it's not even workable. I didn't even know what, if you say, I think ammo grabs are bad, we get somebody who says that ammo grabs are good, then we stop your show and bring them in and kill your ratings. Deliberately put somebody in there who's an awful broadcaster? That might be possible.
It's total torturous interference, but you're the constitutional lawyer. Come back and explain to me where you think this is going. As the Hill reports, though, this does have a torturous gauntlet to go through, but it's because it's so unconstitutional. But so is Obamacare, and so is Obama opening the borders without an act of Congress. So we're in the season of the power grab, of the dictatorship. Stay with us, Lionel.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Thanks for riding shotgun with us on this Sunday worldwide broadcast. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Coming up, we're going to cover social engineering with Joel Skousen, a world affairs brief. Lionel of Lionel Media, lionelmedia.com, is our guest. Lionel, I've been interrupting, chomping at the bit. You've got the floor as a constitutional lawyer and as a media analyst, guy that's worked in TV, radio, you name it, in New York, all over the country. I mean, this is so naked and obvious for people that are informed, but then on top of it, they won't let us see what they're doing. I mean, this is so creepy.
Well, that and more. By the way, kudos to Paul Joseph Watson, who did one of the best tutorials on this. And by the way, all of your videos. I don't want to blow proverbial smoke, but InfoWars is just. I mean, every day, Alex, this is my day. I look at the playground news. You know, Play School and Tonka and Fisher Price and hey, look, Snow and hey, Harrison Ford. For God's sakes, I know he. All day with Harrison Ford, and then there's you, reality. Whether you like it or not, some of the best news aggregating and the like, kudos to you.
We do have a great diverse audience that feeds us great info. We have a great diverse repertoire and palette of great guests like yourself. I mean, I'm only a small part of InfoWars, but all my reporters, my crew, guests like you, it really does give people a very accurate spectrum of what's happening in reality versus the mainstream that is trying to control reality. I think that's the difference. We're trying to get a grasp ourselves in this quest for truth, in to know the mysteries of the universe, and the system thinks it's God and wants to control human thought. We just want to free it, but go ahead.
Well, you know, for example, all I need to do is when, you know, I'm good luck trying to tell most Americans why they should care about AR-15 ammo grabs. They have no idea what that means. But I normally go to your section under the news drop down, and it'll be constitutional, Big Brother, police. When you talk to parents, you say, "Well, here's one for you. Here's one of those weird Alex Jones crazy conspiracy theories. Here's one where a woman who basically was arrested for allowing her kid to, you know, go to a playground or something, that gets their attention." So I'm saying, no matter your whatever melts your butter, so to speak, whatever alarm buttons are tripped, whether it's police state, whether it's parental autonomy being lost, the internet, it's all there. It's all there, and you're merely quoting and citing. Here's the story. Nope, it was in Houston or it was in France. It's there. You know, look, if I got to hear about this dress one more time, or llamas. Or Kim, on the front page of the New York...
Yeah, what is this? Is the dress blue or gold? People keep asking me. I haven't even looked it up.
I got news for you. I mean, this is just perfect. When I saw on the front page of either the Daily News or the Post, this is the number one market in the country, Kim Kardashian dyed her hair blonde. So help me God, the front page. Meanwhile, we're teetering on war in the Ukraine. Anyway, but let's go back. Here's how they're going to take away your internet. And by the way, I always ask friends of mine, this is what gets their attention, Alex, so help me God. You say, well, you know, net neutrality. I said, by the way, do you like your porn? What? You like your porn? Well, yeah. Well, that's going bye-bye. What? That's right. They couldn't take your porn before, but now they can. And that gets their attention. So whatever works, whatever framework it is to get your attention. But going back. Now, because it is regulated, to recap, prior to Title II, prior to net neutrality, the government had no jurisdiction, none. Now it can regulate it as a utility. So, number one, obscenity and decency. Number two, fairness doctrine, perhaps. Number three, licensing. Number four, and this is what you've talked about, which kind of blends both of them as well, intellectual property protections. Claims of copyright violation, claims of music and sourcing, and that's another one. Five, hope I'm not losing my numbers here. It was just reported that ISIS, if you can believe this, whatever incarnation of ISIS this week, Saudi Arabian ISIS, there's like 90,000 Twitter accounts. So Obama and others are going to say, well, because the internet now is a medium of traffic to disseminate terroristic ideas, we're going to use national security as another one. Then they're going to bring up the Commerce Clause, which is, Alex, anything that the government wants to call commerce, is their jurisdiction.
That's the one they've always used and the one they've been trying for 20 years to use to tax the internet. And if you can tax something, as one of the Supreme Court justices said, I forget which one, 200 years ago, you can destroy it. The power to tax is the power to destroy.
That's why I bring up, and I'm not trying to change the subject, but, you know, you've said it, and I think I've said it as well. I've never had a problem with the notion of global warming and climate change per se, whether it's anthropogenic. I'll let climatologists and others. I just want Al Gore and others to sign off that they will never advocate a carbon tax or carbon exchange.
To get money for themselves.
Right. So, because that's the issue. Why? The power to tax is the power to control. The power to tax and control means I can basically shut you down. So what's happening right now is, again, let's go back to this. You know, this is the 50th anniversary of Selma. And the left, supposedly the professional left, I hate to use these shortcuts, Alex, but I will for this.
They are the George Soros fake left.
Right. But they're supposed to worry about civil rights. And what's about this? And did you read the Ferguson emails? The same people, Alex, who don't give a rat's you know what about Hillary's emails, now are all over some underling, some minion who writes, albeit racist, emails for Ferguson. So these people who have this absolutely selective sense of constitutional and civil rights sentience and feeling when it comes to freedom of expression, the currency of thought, this medium, they're brain dead because
they want the FCC to take over the ether of modern communication. Finally here, and we'll get you back this week for a full hour to break this down because you're an expert on free speech and the laws as a constitutional lawyer. But in closing, in the last 2 minutes, on every front, the Republicans are green-lighting at the leadership level. Open borders without even a law, gun control, banning bullets, be able to ban everything else after that when the president said, grabbing the internet, launching al-Qaeda attacks, taking freedoms, NSA spying. Why are things moving so quick? What do you think's happening?
Well, I hate to say this, but I think a lot, very frankly, Alex, there's a lot on the right, Republicans, but the only reason why they're jumping on this is because it's an Obama administration proposal. If George W. was in there, or Cruz, or whoever, one of their liking, they, I'm sorry to say, probably would switch the other way. Because they would say, well, you know, after all...
Well, that's what I'm saying. A lot of the Republican leadership is just giving Obama whatever he wants without even being a Republican. So clearly the establishment wants it. Why are they power grabbing? Why is tyranny just rushing in right now?
Because as we've talked about a million times, the left-right paradigm is an illusion. That's number one. Number two, the two things that every administration, every government since time immemorial wants, Alex Jones, is number one, the ability to limit expression of dissent and total disarmament. Those are the goals. There isn't anybody on the planet who would love to be able to say, I'm going to turn off the spigot of free thought, especially when it's negative to me. Mubarak taught us how to do it with Twitter.
That's right. There's only one government, and that was 1776, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, Constitution, that said we're about free speech, we're about self-defense, we're about private property, we're about due process, and now what makes America is being flushed down the toilet. Thank you, Lionel.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we only have him for these two final segments. He's a former Marine Corps fighter pilot aviator from the Vietnam era, author, researcher, headed up some of the largest conservative movements in this country, trying to retake the Republican Party. He's Joel Skousen, editor at worldaffairsbrief.com, joelskousen.com as well. I want to cover the waterfront with him, a whole bunch of issues. A, the robots are coming is the Wall Street Journal headline. Autonomous automatons from around the globe to compete in DARPA robotics challenge. Simulated disaster. Do robots need passports? The move towards autonomous internet, smart grid, kill switches. It's not just classic robots, autonomous aircraft, autonomous ground robots. I want to get his take at the end of the interview on where that is leading us and where he thinks that's going in the globalist plan. I want to get his take on, because he wants to get into it. I'm glad he wants to cover it. Last week, it got almost no coverage when Netanyahu was speaking, and then we now learned of a secret deal with Pelosi and Boehner and others in the House to let that speech take over while they gave basically fast-track authority on DHS bill where Obama can make all the decisions with the tens of billions and the open borders. So we'll cover that. We'll also get into this huge push of so-called feminism saying men are inherently bad. And all these TV ads saying men don't work hard enough and this divide and conquer with Joel Skousen. And then we'll have him back in the near future for a full hour to really drill into all this. He's the editor of worldaffairsbrief.com. Joel, I just threw out a lot right there. What do you want to tackle first?
Well, let's talk about Boehner's betrayal of the conservatives. This was just incredible how fast this went down, the betrayal of the executive or the move by conservative Republicans, Tea Party Republicans, to stop Obama's executive amnesty. Boehner, of course, was trumpeting that how outrageous this was, that we had to stop this. Mitch McConnell trumpeted that. It was a very sophisticated conspiracy. Started 2 weeks ago, where Mitch McConnell literally gave away the farm in the Senate, refused to take up the House bill that had that in it, and just basically gave it away to Obama. And in trade for a vote of the whole Senate on whether or not they would eliminate or executive funding or vote against it, knowing, of course, that the Democrats would agree to that. They agreed to the separate vote. They, of course, didn't do anything with it. And then it goes to the House. Now, one of the interesting things that happened is normally when you have a House bill and a Senate bill with differences, it goes to a conference committee. John Boehner said, well, we can't do that this time because the Senate is refusing to go to conference over this bill. Now, the Senate means the Senate Majority Leader. That's Mitch McConnell, the Republican, refusing to go to a conference bill whereby the House's proposal with the anti-executive amnesty would have been included. And so now that we don't have a conference bill, Boehner says, well, the only thing we can do, we can't shut down the DHS because of terror. In other words, he bought into the establishment argument. We're just going to have to pass it. And then he did something else. He basically went to the Democrats and said, all right, we need you to pass this, and I'll get 75 Republicans to go along. And there were actually only about 50 hardline Republicans that were really adamant about stopping this executive amnesty. There were 117 Rhino Republicans that said, yeah, but look, we want to vote against this. And so Boehner says, all right, I'll get all the Democrats on board. I'll get 75 Republicans on board, and the rest of you can vote against it so that you can go to your constituents and say, I was against this. I voted against it. This happens all the time on a safe passage where they get a lot of people defect to the proper side.
Sure, and it was the same thing on the FCC takeover of the Internet and the same thing on all this UN garbage. I mean, the Republican leadership is clearly under the same special interest working with Obama. What do you expect him to do next? We've got executive ammo bans. Republicans do nothing. I mean, they are really moving at warp speed right now.
That's right. We have executive tax increases coming. Obama is, yeah. I mean, this is much more than just amnesty. They have, in essence, laid down and said, we won't stop illegal, unconstitutional executive orders. And that's really a problem.
So the Republicans have signaled they'll do whatever the Obama controllers want. Joel, what do you expect to happen next?
Well, it's hard to say. As I say, I think we're going to get more war, of course. Obama's still in Afghanistan, going to continue there. I believe when we talk about this Israeli Netanyahu situation, that all of this political theory is prepping the way for an Israeli attack on Iran, and probably sooner rather than later. It's the only thing that I know that can justify how they put on all of this fake deception about White House having a spat with Netanyahu and cutting off intelligence, or Obama going to stop Israeli fighters from attacking Iran. None of that is true. Massive disinformation campaign to make it look like Israel and the U.S. are at odds, that the U.S. is not in favor of attacking Iran, and that Iran is going to get a nuclear agreement. They are not going to get a nuclear agreement.
What do you expect Iran to do when they get their nuclear sites hit?
I think they're going to retaliate against Israel and against the United States. Now, I think the United States is setting itself up to be hands clean of this so that it, the propaganda is that it, we had nothing to do with this, so that when Iran does attack U.S. forces, still in Afghanistan, still in Iraq, that the U.S. will feel totally justified in going after Iran's military because of this innocent presumption that all of this political theater of the past 2 weeks has developed.
Wow. I've thrown a lot of questions out at you. I want to come back and talk about feminism and political correctness going into overdrive to a cartoonish level, but what's behind that? We'll get your take on that. What do you make of this ammo ban, this executive ammo ban? Because we now learn it was premeditated by Town Hall and that they're planning more ammo bans. I mean, this could cause a civil war in this country. There are a lot of folks that aren't going to turn their guns in. If they start SWAT teaming gun owners over bullets they claim are illegal down the road, this could accelerate the timetable.
Yeah, what's really funny is they took the green-tipped bullet, which is a hunting round. It's not used for anything but hunting. Even one of the top cops in the nation said, hey, this is not a cop-killing bullet. There's no justification for putting this into an ammo ban, and it looks very, very tenuous. And as you say, this is a foot-in-the-door approach, but why pick a hunting round? You know, why not start with something you know, much more lethal, something high penetration round.
Armor piercing 50 BMG.
Yeah. But no, they're picking a hunting round, and that's a bad sign. That means that he might go after other hunting rounds. But, you know, Congress is going to have to step up and stop this. I think they could. Even Democrats would be afraid to vote for an ammo ban on a hunting round.
So are they blackmailing him? I mean, if Obama is so unpopular, why does Congress continue to do whatever he says?
Well, it's because the Republican leadership works for the globalists just like Barack Obama. And that's the thing. We've been co-opted. There are about 50 legitimate Tea Party, strong constitutional conservatives in Congress. That's it. The rest of them are going along afraid. I mean, can you imagine even after that betrayal on the DHS funding, there wasn't any movement at all to depose Boehner from Speaker of the House. Not even, no one even put it forward. That's how weak the Republican establishment is, or the Republican conservative side, vis-a-vis the establishment powers. They can't punish them. You know, they can strip them of committee assignments. They can do lots of things the way that our Congress is set up.
Joel Scalz, an editor of worldaffairsbrief.com. We're going to go to break here in about a minute. We got one final 10-minute segment with you. I want to get into feminism, the political correctness, the brainwashing, automation, where you see long-term things going. But overall, as we go to break, how are things going for the globalists right now?
I think they're on a tenuous track. The anti-globalism that's going around the world, including the EU, especially the winning parties in all of the EU are anti-globalist parties, anti-EU parties. That's why I think it's more and more likely that we're going to get war sooner rather than later.
Let's come back and get your take on why war is the answer for these despots. Stay with us.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Final segment on this Sunday broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow live, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. Please tell your friends and family about the broadcast. The establishment wouldn't be trying to come in and shut down talk radio and free speech if we weren't effective. We have to find that fighting spirit to not be slaves and resist and promote free will. And I want to finish up with this push towards global war destabilization by these different special interests. But then, Joel, you talk about at the bottom of this rat hole or rabbit hole really is the devil. And even if somebody's an atheist out there and doesn't believe in the devil, the archetype of the devil, I mean, I believe in a physical, you know, entity, but the archetype is real in history. And we've lost our Skype feed. You join us by phone now. So let's hit war at the end here in about 10 minutes. Let's now get into this. It's so clear now, the attack on the family, the attack on children, the attack on decency, just the attack on private property, that this is a totalitarian spirit and that where we're being led is somewhere so horrible. And I see in this attack on free will the system going after the false omnipresence of computers, the things of the internet, the surveillance grid, autonomous drones, the rushing towards all that. So I'm talking drones, computers, the mark of the beast, to buy and sell, feminism, the Jezebel spirit. You've got the floor. Speak on this for 5, 6, 7 minutes, Joel Skousen.
Well, thanks, Alex. You know, it's really a war on judgment. Everything in liberty requires judgment. It requires sorting out between good and evil, competent and incompetent. And all political correctness, feminism, anti-discrimination laws, which are all the swoon now within politics, this is all a war against judgment. And that's what we're seeing happening. It actually becomes a threat to free markets in general when you cannot judge. It will become a threat to all business entities when you cannot, in fact, make good decisions where you have to have a certain quota of women on the board, for example. Nothing wrong with competent women, but you're not going to find the same percentage of competent women in the workforce as you have men, because men are still the breadwinner in society, and they'd like to change that, of course. They'd like to automate childcare as well as, you know, the automation of the automobile. And of course, with automation comes tracking, and that's a very important point, is that everything that is computerized and automated is also tracked. So it's like in feminism, for example, The Guardian came out yesterday with a major piece criticizing feminism because they have become, according to The Guardian, elitist in the sense that they're only concerned about the high-profile, elite, wealthy jobs for women, the showcase for women, which shows they're not really interested in women as a whole. Otherwise, they'd be worried more about the common labor view of having low-paid women in the service industry.
Sure, it's an elitism. It's women that want to be the leaders of women.
And a lot of them want to be leaders over men, too. They want a subservience. But, you know, it's like communism. It's like socialism. They talk about egalitarianism. They talk about the proletariat. But, you know, Putin is the wealthiest guy in the world now.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It delivers total top-down centralization. Feminism is wrecking women. Every metric shows it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, absolutely true. And it's supreme hypocrisy to have, communist leaders with all the trappings of wealth. Even during the Soviet era, the communist leaders had anything they wanted from Western luxury goods. Could bypass all the restrictions coming in, and that's still true today. And, feminists do want the top, most notoriety jobs. They don't even care, really, about the common person at the common level and what they make. But going back to the fact that, you know, one of our greatest threats today is anti-discrimination laws, because anti-discrimination is anti-judgment. To discriminate is to judge. To judge is a fundamental right. You cannot have liberty in this world without unrestricted ability to make judgments on your own private property.
Well, that's like saying which restaurant you want to eat at. It's who has the better food. I've noticed political correctness is a war on language, communication, discernment, and choice. Yes.
Indeed. In fact, in the state of Utah, they just got this big new bill trying to have both religious liberty and anti-discrimination laws. I mean, and this is sponsored by conservatives, thinking that they're going to placate the gay and lesbian agenda by giving them anti-discrimination, yet giving lip service to religious rights. But in fact, if you, as a, you know, you may have religious rights as a church, but if you as an individual member of a church don't have the right to discriminate about who you will let into your home, who you will bake a cake for, as has recently been a high-profile court, you don't have liberty. You don't have liberty if you don't have freedom of judgment and choice on your own property.
And notice it's only Christians that aren't allowed to have the choice. If the Muslims don't want to take off their headdresses at the airport, they don't have to. Or the Satanist, it's only Christians that are being targeted.
Absolutely. And it's not because Obama is a Muslim. I don't think Obama is religious, period. I think he plays the Christian role when he wants to. He plays the Muslim role when he wants to. He was a former Marxist, but he's a globalist puppet right now. Does what he's told and is following a very, very real agenda. It's a very complex social engineering agenda that we're dealing with. They do want the destruction of the family. They do want the destruction of judgment, because judgment is the way that the free market compensates against these regulations and rules, which put people into boxes, into classes. You know, they talk about, you know, classes. The worst class society that is created is the animal farm society, the society that socialists create.
Exactly. It's all the opposite. They claim they're trying to get rid of race. All they do is hype it. All they do is put you in a group.
That's right. And they don't allow you to escape by judgment, by even under your own property, which is where you supposedly are free. It should be free to discriminate. You know, I don't discriminate by race, but I do defend a person's ability to do so, because it's a fundamental right, just as I would defend a person's ability to say anything on his own property that he wants to. Because once you allow government to come in and start to dictate what someone can or cannot do on their own property that isn't affecting anyone else's fundamental rights, then you've really lost a major freedom. And it is not a fundamental right to have a right to a job. The job right lies exclusively with the employer who owns the property, who owns the money. It's his job to give. It isn't a right.
Well, it'd be like the Amish. If I showed up, and I'm kind of, you know, Baptist background, I demand to be an Amish, and I don't adopt their system, they don't have to let me in anyways. I can't make them. I can't go to some black-owned jazz bar that's all black-owned and black employees and say, you're going to give me a job or I'm going to sue you. But I really could. And it's just fundamentally wrong. It's a fraud. I should have to adopt the practices and ideas of a group if I want to join it. That's fundamental freedom.
Absolutely. And ultimately, going to our end point is that people continue to resist the restrictions on judgment and discriminate. They tend to look for ways out, just as people keep looking for ways out of these globalist controls. And that's why eventually they'll give us war, because war justifies all kinds of government strongholds. I mean, the economy goes down in a war. There are shortages, so they have the power to dictate what happens in the markets, in the society. But they're also, in this next war, going to dictate to us all types of social engineering rules. I think we're going to get it in spades.
Well, Joel Skousen, editor of worldaffairsbrief.com, I've got to say this. I've interviewed thousands of people. I've been on air 20 years. You are a true wise man, because I study stuff 16 hours a day. And very few other people I can get on who have deep knowledge. Basically, any subject I curveball at you, you really have the deep knowledge, and teach me something every time you're on. I want to invite you to come on with us every few weeks for an hour, if you can do it. I know you're busy doing all your other operations, to cover just different random sectors of things so that people can see how it all ties together. Because when you pull back from it, you see the master design and you see God's design, but then in there, like a cancer, you see the devil's design. And I think if we can get people to see the big picture like you and others do, and I do to a certain extent, we could break this trance. What do you say?
I would love to, Alex. It's just great to talk about big picture areas, the ultimate view of philosophy of where they're going, where we're going, what's God's role in this, what's Satan's role. Love to do it, Alex.
Amazing. We got about 45 seconds left. Other points you'd like to make in closing?
Let's see.
It comes down to the individual taking action and getting their heart right, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. We really have a problem in the sense that when, you know, good people, Christians especially, have difficulty seeing wolves in sheep clothing, we are surrounded by people who are lying to us, who wear the conservative cloak. And so, you know, people have to start listening to conscience. Conscience is what warns us when someone's deceiving us.
So in closing, it's the spirit. Joel Skousen, thank you so much. I'm Alex Jones signing off.